Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper Peak Quinnell, and today I'm joined by Tempest the Wrestler.
I'm Tempest.
He's still Tempest. He's
I'll let you know when that changes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, just keep me in the loop. That would be amazing. Thanks. Yep. How are you doing today, man?
I'm not doing too bad. I don't think the rooster is still here. It's been a couple of days and I haven't heard it, so I'm hoping that this saga has ended. That being said, my new nemesis is my next door neighbor's car alarm, which decided to continuously go off until about 3 a.m. last night. So
good.
There is just no rest for Tempest the Wrestler.
So the adventures of WrestleCock may have come to an end. However, we've now got to contend with WrestleCar. Yeah. That's the new big deal. Okay.
I'm not as offended by Russell Carr as I was by the Russell Cock for obvious reasons, you know. But at the same time, like, just go and plug your goddamn battery. Like,
yeah.
You know. Oh Lord.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Some people. Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to get to in the outro portion of this podcast, but for now, we might as well get into talking about SmackDown, because we're going to be talking about, first and foremost, this amazing main event between Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan for the Universal Championship, and if Bryan lost, he'd be banished from SmackDown. Spoilers, he lost. It was great. Let's talk about it. But the first thing we're going to be talking about is the main point of the show, which was what everything was building to, was Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan for the Universal Championship. If Daniel Bryan loses, then he's going to be banished from SmackDown. That was the whole point of the show, and it was the main thing that they were building to the entire time. It was, they had loads of people talking about it throughout the show, like video, like phone promos from Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, Seth Rollins, Cesaro, Shinsuke, Booker T, like The Miz, like loads of people just saying, like, here's who I think is going to win. They had a load of recap packages through the show. They had an awesome promo from Paul Heyman. I loved this promo from Paul Heyman so much, because it was just before the match was going to start. Kaeda Braxton was backstage. He comes out from the locker room, from Roman Reigns' locker room, and he does booking 101, put over your opponent, because then if you beat them, you've beaten someone really good. And that's exactly what he did. And he did a wonderful promo where he basically, I don't know where he took a breath, because he just talked for like 3 minutes straight of him just being like, did Daniel Bryan come back from a career-threatening injury against all odds and come back and main event WrestleMania? Yes. Has he won a world title in the main event of WrestleMania? Yes. Has he been the ultimate underdog? Yes. And just like listed off every like accomplishment that Bryan's ever done in his career, and just built and built and built and built and built, and then said, and is he going to do it? No. he's not going to withstand the onslaught from the tribal chief and just brought it all right back down to be like, yeah, but Roman's going to win though, isn't he? Oh, it was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful stuff from Heyman. Loved that. But then it all built to the big fight feel main event where you had Daniel Bryan come out. Yes, yes, yes. Then you had Roman Reigns come out with new music, Tempest.
This is not a drill, Pete.
Not a drill. Roman Reigns has got new music. Holy crap. It's like 7 years too late. But you know what? That's fine. Because I will say in my edited review of this, I said, you know what? I don't immediately hate it. It's got some weird choices of instruments in there, but I think it will grow on me. I think I'll like it. Here I am about 5 hours after recording that. I love it. It's really good. It's grown on me so much already. I really, really like it. Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. Makes him feel like epic. And loads of people have done the same description of being like, it feels like a final boss battle theme. And it does. It really does. It's great. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of the same way where like I heard it the first time and I was like, interesting. Perhaps it'll grow on me a little bit. It has since grown on me, which is a good sign. Like I've just been like walking around this morning before the podcast, just going to just doing the bit from the whole song, you know, and it's like, I like it. I do feel like it's missing like something, like one little thing to make it like an all time great theme. But again, that might just be because I've heard it like twice and I still need it to grow on me more. So I will reserve my judgment on the song for a little while longer. But hey, we've been asking for a new song for Roman Reigns for a long time. I don't know why they didn't debut this at WrestleMania, unless this is literally something that they've put together in the last 2 weeks. But we've hit the new Roman Reigns officially. Like he's lost the gear. He's lost the song. This is no longer the Shield Roman Reigns. And I'm really excited about that.
I've seen a few people in the comments saying they think they know what the extra thing is that Roman's theme needs. And I think it's actually...
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is
more cowbell.
Which I agree with, yeah. I think that'd be great.
I didn't know that was in there.
Nor did I. I went to look for it. I was like, is this still in the back end of it? Yeah, it is. Might as well play it.
Really caught me off guard.
Oh, it's great. Love it. so yeah, I love the theme though. Genuinely, I love it so much. Like the intro of it feels so epic. It just feels like Roman is such like it feels like the next section of Roman's character. This is the next arc of the Roman tribal chief that we know. Him just making his entrance with that amazing 8K camera and him just looking like a badass, the new music and him just coming out and just staring down the camera. I was just like, God, he feels like on another level compared to everybody else in WWE. He just feels like an absolute mega star from this entrance.
What a star. The song also, I realized what it kind of reminds me of. It reminds me of Evil's new music in New Japan. Not exactly the same, but there's a lot of like the same like piano melodies and that sort of thing. And I like that song too. Not a big fan of what Evil's done with it, you know, since then, but I really like the song. I think the song makes Evil feel like more of a big star, and hopefully this is just going to make Roman that much more of a star. And I mean, it's working already.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we got to the match itself, which very much had big fight feel. They hyped it obviously loads last week. They hyped it loads throughout the show, all building up to this match. And I really feel like they delivered on the hype. Like this was a pay-per-view match that they just put on SmackDown because they could. Went through several ad breaks, gave it like 30 minutes, including the ad breaks and all that stuff. And man, my first note about after the new music, because I just stopped taking notes for a while because I was just into the match. And then I wrote, holy S word, this match is amazing, is literally my first note after it. So much fun action. A brilliant story as well through the whole thing, which paid off perfectly with the actual finish of the match. But like, there was a near fall off the running knee. Like, Reigns just got his foot on the bottom rope off the running knee, which was a brilliant spot. Bryan just kicked out of the spear. I was like, that never happens unless your name is Brock Lesnar. That's amazing. Really, really cool stuff. And then the thing that really solidified this match to me, because it had amazing action. There was like, you know, a middle rope powerbomb. There was a really big Samoan drop. There's all these like really like big high spots through the whole thing. But the thing that really made this match amazing for me was one, not one distraction through the whole thing. No Paul Heyman, no Jey Uso, no Cesaro, no Seth Rollins, no nothing. It was just Reigns and Bryan had a match and it was great. And the story of the finish was perfect because the entire match, Bryan had been working on Reigns' right arm. That was the whole thing that he was working on, which is great for like the Superman punch and for the guillotine that he does. And it was Reigns was constantly selling that shoulder and that arm the whole time. Bryan constantly did the yes lock on the right arm just to like further that in and all that stuff. And Reigns was going for the guillotine on Bryan. Bryan blocked the right arm and started to work on the right arm again. And Reigns caught Bryan off guard and switched it to the guillotine to the left side. And Bryan passed out because Bryan wasn't expecting him to switch over to the left-hand side. And he got the guillotine locked in on the left side instead. And Bryan passed out. I thought that was absolutely spot on because it made Roman look amazing without taking anything away from Bryan. And it was perfect. It was awesome. Loved it. Loved it so much.
I think this is the best WWE TV match since Daniel Bryan's match with AJ Styles last year.
Yeah, and that, great show.
That to me was like one of the best WWE matches of the whole year last year. Mm-hmm. So again, very high praise. It's just the only negative that I have, and it has nothing to do with what they did, is I so badly wish that there was a crowd for this. Like this would have been like an all-time like legendary SmackDown like WWE main event if there were fans in the building. But again, like I'm not going to blame anybody for that. That's just me saying like, oh, sad. But the match itself, like it was so easy to do because everything just made sense and it was just a storyline that just made sense, you know? Like sometimes it feels like things need to be overcomplicated in wrestling because there's so many moving parts and you got to get this guy over and this guy over and this guy over. Sometimes you literally just need to do a match and have one guy be better than the other guy and tell that story. And it's brilliant. Like stuff like this just makes me love wrestling, you know? Because there's nothing here that makes me frustrated. There's nothing here that makes me disappointed or anything like that. I just love it. You know, like I just see this and I was like, this is what wrestling could be all the time. And it should be all the time. Like, obviously, it's not going to be this level of epic all the time. But like the core mechanics of just two guys that are really great, like one awesome heel, one awesome baby face, and having a storyline in the match of just one guy trying to work over another guy's arm, but he gets caught off guard and beaten. Like that's so easy and simple, but it's still fantastic. Mm-hmm. I wish that we could like capture this lightning in a bottle and apply it to like everything else on the show at all times. Cause just, oh man, it was just so, so good.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I was so into the match. I was so into it. And like the extra stakes of Bryan being banished from SmackDown and like the intrigue surrounding that really added to it. I really felt like they played up on that a lot. Like Bryan kicking out of the spear. Like even I can't exactly remember what the commentary said for that particular spot. But in my head, I was thinking like, oh yeah, it's like, it's Bryan's heart. Cause he doesn't want to, you know, he wants the Universal title, sure, but he doesn't want to be banished from SmackDown. That's why he's like pulling out all these, this big stuff and like some really like unique reversals to get into and like roll ups to get into the yes lock and stuff like that. It was like, oh, it was so good. Like Roman crawling for the ropes and Bryan then pulling that arm back and like rolling him through that into another yes lock. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm just saying things at this point because I've really enjoyed this match. But then it didn't end there because after the match, Reigns got two chairs. Despite winning completely clean, he's still a heel, remember? He doesn't have to cheat to win, but he's just going to beat you up afterwards because he's a dick, because he's Roman Reigns, right? Grabs two chairs, goes into the ring, puts one underneath Bryan, and looks like he's going to set up for a concerto onto Bryan. Cesaro runs out to make the save because he's a good babyface. Good, like that. Cesaro runs out to make the save, and I was like, okay, so they're setting up a Cesaro-Reigns thing here. Cesaro's going to like get an uppercut onto Reigns. Reigns will run away. That'll be the end of the show. Cool. That's not what happened. Cesaro came out, hit an uppercut on Reigns, and then Jey Uso came out, hit a super kick on Cesaro, wrapped him up into the ropes, and forced him to watch while Roman Reigns hit the concerto on Bryan anyway. I was like, what a lovely subversion of expectations. That was brilliant. Loved that. So Reigns stood tall yet again. This time with help from Jey Uso, but, you know, Cesaro was coming to beat him up after a match. Makes perfect sense for Jey to come out. Yeah, yeah. I thought this was all wonderful. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, this was a perfect example of getting the most out of a situation, because this is a situation where you don't need to protect Bryan, because in theory, he's lost and is now gone, at least from SmackDown forever. We don't know if he's like, he might show up on Raw, he might show up on NXT, he might show up again, he might just be done. You never know. This might have been his retirement match. You don't know. But that being said, it's very obvious that he's not going to be here next week on SmackDown. So get as much heat out of this for Roman as possible. And so in doing that, you were able to take Bryan out of the show, make Roman that much more of a heel, and also set up a new feud with Cesaro. And I love the angle of setting the babyface up in the ropes, tying him up, having a second person holding him there, and making him watch something terrible that's happening. I loved it. I loved this go-home angle. Not go-home angle, but off-the-show angle. Like, oh. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, good. Magnificent.
It really was. It was absolutely wonderful stuff. Like you said, it's getting the most out of the situation, because I don't think this is a Charlotte Flair situation where Bryan's just going to come back next week. I do feel like, because this is a story that involves Roman Reigns, they tend to actually follow through on their promises when it comes to Roman stories. That's the one thing they've been really good at booking. Basically, since last year's SummerSlam, they've just booked Roman wonderfully. So anything surrounding him and involving him, I feel like they actually follow through on. I don't think Bryan's going to come back to SmackDown anytime soon or at all. I think he genuinely might just move brands or be done, you know? After this victory, because, you know, when they started making their entrances, I was like, Bryan has a chance of winning this. And then I heard Roman's new theme. I was like, Bryan doesn't have a chance of winning this. like we kind of alluded to earlier, this feels like the next arc for Roman Reigns. This feels like the next chapter in the Roman Reigns story from his tribal chief character, which does make me a little bit concerned, because it feels like they're now going to do Reigns versus Cesaro at Backlash, which is only like 2 weeks away now. I think that makes me worried, because Cesaro shouldn't win that match. And I don't want Cesaro to win that match. But also, if Cesaro's not going to win, I don't want him to be in that match, because they should save that for Cesaro to actually dethrone him later at like a SummerSlam or way down the line, whenever. You know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they could do an AEW. They could do an amazing long-term story. Cesaro faces Reigns here, and he loses. Just straight up loses. He's just not the better man on that night. And he takes the time to rebuild and regroup and just gets better and better and better until eventually, months down the line, he gets another match against Reigns and he wins. Maybe that's the story they're going to tell. I doubt it, but maybe there's that. It does just give me a little pause for concern that if they are going to do Reigns Cesaro with Backlash, which it looks like that's what they're going to do, that Cesaro will lose and then that will be Cesaro's push done.
Yeah, because we brought this up like a week or two ago when it looked like they were setting up Cesaro and Roman Reigns for the next pay-per-view. And that's exactly what we said. Like, we said that I would really like to see Cesaro beat Roman Reigns and become Universal Champion, but I don't want it to happen at the show right after WrestleMania. Like, it's not time yet. And if this got put off until like SummerSlam, I would be much more invested in that, because I feel like that's a good long reign. Roman would have been champion for like a year at that point. Like, I would be satisfied with something like that. But having it happen now, like, I feel like Roman's just really getting going.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been champion for like, what, 6-7 months, however long it's been now.
I think he said on his entrance it was 242 days, I think they said.
It's a long time. I forgot what month it was, honestly. Mm. But, like, he's getting better. Like, it's crazy because we all saw Roman Reigns, like, in September last year when he cut the one promo on Jey Uso on the stage. And we were like, oh, my God, Roman Reigns has peaked. Finally, he's the best he's ever been. And he just keeps getting better. Now's not the time to take the belt off of him.
No, it really isn't. And it's so wild because I was like, he could totally lose the belt at WrestleMania. Like, I think it would be a really solid run. He's done so much with that run. It feels like a good, like, natural end point for Reigns if he does lose the title win. And it's in a triple threat, like, he can be protected and all that stuff. And now he's retained, and now he's got a new theme. This feels like the next bit of Reigns. And I'm like, there's still loads more for him to do. Don't know what I was talking about. I was wrong. I was just wrong back then. I'm all in on Reigns right now. I think this was absolutely wonderful, brilliantly built too, and they paid off on their hype. Such a good job. Well done, everyone involved, because that was amazing.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Let's see what you guys thought. Let's get into your Ultra Chats right now. If you want to get in your Ultra Chats, wrestletalk.com/support. Link is on the screen. Get those in and we'll get through to every single one of them by the end of the show. We got one here from DN Trin that says, Roman's new theme song sounds like a JRPG final boss theme. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. It's great. I love it. Charles Berg says, don't think I forgot to compliment you, Tempest. The passion you have for wrestling gives me renewed love for this wacky thing we all enjoy. And Pete, you seem like a selfless individual who puts others before him. Aw, thank you. Roman Reigns has sexy anime villain music. Yeah. Yeah, he does. Because he's a sexy anime villain.
He's great. Is sexy. Look at him.
Oh, God.
Dude. Look at his chest now.
That 8K camera and him, like smoldering look into the camera. Mm-hmm. Oof. Oof, yeah. God.
Smoldering is a great way to describe Roman Reigns. Yeah. That's his intangible. Smoldering. He smolders.
intangible smoldering. Amazing. Yeah. Oh, God. Matthew Makovsky says, this match humped. Roman's theme makes him godly, tribal god, head of the table. Brian has options. What are 5 matches from each Raw, NXT, and outside WWE you want to see now? That's too many. Let's do one. Okay, final thought. I really hope we get to see Apollo versus Big E versus Owens versus Zayn soon. We'll talk about that later. I think that's the way they're going. One match, we don't have time for 5, from each Raw, NXT, and outside WWE you want to see now?
Outside WWE, I'd probably say I'll go Zack Sabre Jr. For outside WWE. For NXT, I'll count NXT UK and say Walter. And from Raw, I don't even remember who's on Raw right now, honest to God. I have no idea.
AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah, he's there. Let's just see that match again. They're good. Yeah. Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Why not?
Throw that in there. Drew McIntyre, Walter, Tomohiro Ishii.
Oh. Tomohiro Ishii is just a go-to answer for anything.
So much beef in that match. Perseus M says, just imagine just Roman with this music going against the almighty Bobby Lashley with his music and Heyman versus MVP. I think this is where it's going. That's quite interesting. I hadn't considered that. I don't think that's where it's going, but that is a really interesting comparison, actually. I think that would actually be really good.
If they both hold the titles for a long time, I mean, Survivor Series is a thing.
Totally.
You know, I don't know if Lashley will still be champion by then. I don't know if Roman will still be champion by then. I hope they both are, but we'll see. I mean, that would be, to me, the only place you could do that match right now. But again, you never know.
Yeah. LJ Mickey says, after WrestleMania, I thought that Roman Reigns cannot be more dominant and a badass heel. And then this SmackDown happened. Honestly, this was amazing. It was so good that I totally forgot that Reginald was in this episode. Me too. I still rated this a 5 out of 5 show on the edited review. Wild. There was a whole Reginald on this show, and I still rated it 5. That's how good this main event was. Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you there. Mary Painsville Dan says, so here's what's next for Roman and Cesaro. Roman beats Cesaro via distraction at Backlash. On SmackDown, Corbin gets involved in the action. Cesaro enters an 8-month feud with Corbin, and it looks like he's going to be rewarded with the title, but here comes Goldberg.
Go thanks, away, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
See, again, I never know if Dan is doing a bit or not. Like, this could
or
very
if he really wants
be,
that.
Yeah, this could very easily be just his thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do one more for now before we get into the rest of them later on. Bazo Banks comes in to say, what a strong show. SD just has this aura and energy that Raw severely lacks. They at least put in the effort to make things feel important. Just looking at the new banners for Raw and SmackDown, I know which show I want to watch more. Give me Brian and Walter now. Yep. I love that.
Yep. Sean Ross Sapp pointed out on Twitter today when someone told him, like, oh, wins and losses don't matter. Get over it. I was like, Roman Reigns doesn't lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if he lost his non-title matches, he wouldn't be the character he is now. It wouldn't make any sense. Wouldn't make any difference. But for now, let's talk about the rest of the show. Which started off with a quick hype thing for Reigns and Bryan in the night. And Bianca Belair came out. There was a weird little video package. This is a massive pet peeve. And I know this is a pet peeve. It still winds me up, though. Where Bianca Belair's coming out, SmackDown Women's Champion, main event in night 1 of WrestleMania. And they say, here's what Bianca Belair's all about. It's like, we know what she's about. She's the SmackDown Women's Champion. She's been on the roster for ages now, and she main evented night 1 of WrestleMania. Like, and the thing is, even if people don't know what she's about, if they're a first-time viewer and they're not seeing anything about her, they should know what she's about by her personality and her wrestling and her gimmick, you know? If someone's brand new on the roster, I can understand doing this kind of video package to be like, here's why you should care about this character. We have so many reasons to care about Bianca Belair that they've already given us. We don't need a thing to say, here's what Bianca Belair is all about. It's like, we know. Stop wasting our time.
They also have to keep in mind that, like, WWE hasn't got a whole lot of new fans. So like, yeah, explaining these things just is kind of redundant. I would have much rather they highlighted that she was on ESPN this week talking with Stephen A. Smith, because that's a big deal.
That's so unlike WWE to not promote that.
Oh, God, Lord. Wild. But yes, I agree.
So anyway, she comes out and says, "Welcome to SmackDown." Da-ba-da-ba-da. It was the very generic baby face, like, "We're here on Friday night." The Dirty Dogs came out to interrupt and said something. And then the Street Profits came out and said something. And then Bailey came out and didn't say anything. And then she came out to the ring. And then she did the same laugh she did last week, where she laughed at Bianca. And then she laughed at the Street Profits. And then they just kind of started fighting. So all those people from last week who said, "You're an idiot," Bailey's laughing at the fact that she got Bianca Belair with the thing. Can someone please tell me, what was Bailey laughing at here? That she interrupted them? Because so did everybody else. What are you laughing at, Bailey? You maniac. Yeah. I didn't get it.
Love the people. Yeah, guys, I don't know. There are some people who seem to not understand the fact that when we say that we don't get things like this, it's not that the joke is going over our heads. It's that the joke isn't funny.
Or just doesn't exist. They're just saying, "Look at the joke." And we go, "What joke?" And they go, "You know, the joke." What one?
Yeah. I will say this to me, like, I didn't have that much of an issue with, like, the promos that were being cut. I didn't care for the Bailey thing. But, like, this match had been announced beforehand. Like, we knew this was coming.
Yeah.
Just give us the match.
Yeah.
Like, this would have been a perfect time to just open the show with a match, which is something that we really appreciated on NXT this week, where just the show just started with a match. Like, really good stuff. This felt like the promo to set up the six-person tag. When you didn't need to do one, you just do the match.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a problem that WWE has as a whole, of just being like, "Whoa, this feels so impromptu," with, like, everything. It's like, no, announce your matches and just do them like a show.
I even thought it was wild when I was like 11, because they would do that. They would announce the matches beforehand. I remember one instance specifically from June 2008 when they announced Jeff Hardy versus John Cena in a number one contenders match, like the night after Extreme Rules. It was June 2nd, 2008. I got a good memory, folks. And they all came out and Triple H cut a promo, and then John Cena came out and Jeff Hardy came out, and then Vince McMahon appeared on the Tron. He was like, "I've got a great idea. We're going to have a number one contenders match between John Cena and Jeff Hardy." And everyone was like, "We know, you announced it already." Just get to it sometime.
Just do the match.
Yeah.
So yeah, my first note for this match was, that was a really bad setup. And then Pat McAfee with his absolutes. He's back at it again this week. "This is the best Dawkins we've ever seen." What? He's doing a splash, buddy. You know, the same splash that he does every week.
Yeah,
sure, that's fine. But for all my criticisms of the setup, I thought this was a fun little match. I thought it was quite good. The action was very good. And I quite like the finish that they did on this one, where Bianca uses her hair whip, which she only brings out in very dire situations, use that on Rude. And then we got Dawkins to do a spine buster, I think, and then a springboard frog splash from Ford onto Rude to get the pinfall win. Really nice. Really liked it. Yeah. The timing of, like, whip, spine buster, frog splash was all really, really, like, fluid and smooth and really nice. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I had no complaints about the match. You know, it was just, like, it was solid. And it was, like, I don't even know that it needed to be a little bit longer. But, like, if you take out the promo at the beginning, you can give more time to another match on the show. And I think that would have been a better use of the time. But yeah, I thought it was a really good match. Again, really like the finish. I really don't care about the tag team situation right now, but we're just getting this match again. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll do the four-way thing at Backlash that they did the night before WrestleMania again. Who knows? Who cares? But just put the belts on the Mysterios at this point. Like,
yeah,
I want to see that. Just do it already.
It'll be a nice moment. get them to celebrate, and they can be, they can do the thing where they touch the heads that the Mysterios do, you know, the thing. It'll be fine. It would be good.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, there was a weird spot in this match where Bianca looked like she was like, they were putting over that she was struggling to lift up.
I totally forgot about that.
She's lifted up Otis before. And she, the whole thing is that she's really, she like pressed Sasha over her head at WrestleMania. And she's like, oh, really, can she get up Ziggler? It's like,
Like, she could squat Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, easy. Yeah. Easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was weird.
I'm glad you brought that up. It was weird. I completely forgot and thought the exact same thing, where I was like, what is this? Yeah.
It's very strange. Anyway, we then had Daniel Bryan backstage saying that he's going to win the title and he's going to give Cesaro the first shot after he wins. He didn't win. We then had an ad break, and then we had a Rollins promo, and Rollins said, I actually think that Bryan is going to win. I think he's right. But Cesaro is definitely not getting the first shot. I'll make sure of it, kind of thing, furthering that whole Rollins-Cesaro thing, which was cool. We then got a recap of Tamina versus Nia from last week, which was basically the whole match. The recap was basically the same thing as the whole match from last week.
As if I needed to see it again.
Yeah. Nia and Shayna and Reginald are walking backstage, and they say, we're tired being disrespected. They've got wins over us in singles competition. They can't beat us in a tag match. That we're the tag champions. It's like, Shayna, you're a singles wrestler. Come back to the light. Come back to the light, please, Shayna. Anyway. And then in pure babyface fashion, because WWE are listening to the fans, and Tamina got over at WrestleMania, and you know, the crowd really liked her at Mania, so they're going to push her as a babyface now to listen to the crowd. Natty and Tamina beat him up backstage.
Was this not just the most backwards segment?
Really, like, was, wasn't it?
Like, I don't know. I feel like I've been on like some vendetta over the last like month of babyfaces acting like babyfaces. And like, I don't like two-on-one beatdowns or attacking people from behind from babyfaces and whatnot. Why could they not have Tamina and Nia Jax, or Tamina and Natalya doing the promo, and have Shayna and Nia attack them? Like, that's how that works. You have the bad guys do the bad thing, not the good guys do the bad thing. I don't know.
Yeah. As they started off the match, which was a tag match, Nia and Shayna versus Natalya and Tamina, non-title match, Pat McAfee just goes, these teams have been battling each other for weeks. I was like, they sure have, Pat.
Yeah.
God almighty, yeah, they have.
Yeah, goodness, I think Sean again tweeted something last night saying that in just the month of April, this was like the seventh time that that one of Tamina or Natalya faced Nia or Shayna. And love of God, I do not need to see any combination of those four people ever again.
But they're going to. But they're going to, based off the result of this match. Okay, positives.
Yeah.
Positives of this match. I thought this was probably, out of those seven matches that they've had in April, I think this was probably their best one.
Yeah, I was least offended by this.
Yeah.
You know?
And genuinely, like, they kept up a pretty good pace through the match. Like, the spots were cool. They were all right. They were fine. Nothing like super duper special or anything, but like they just went from one to the next to the next to the next and just kept up a really nice pace through the match. They got a bit more time than normal, you know, better than 30 seconds. They got a few minutes out of this, which was nice. And yeah, it was probably the best one they had. Few negatives. Reginald! God! He winds me up. And it's just constant distractions on the outside. I said this in my edited review as well. They told half a story and then didn't pay it off, where Shayna was going for a tag and then Nia wasn't there because she was outside with Reginald selling, and like the cameras were showing her outside selling, like, oh, this is a big deal. And the commentary team were like, oh, Shayna and Nia not on the same page because...
Can they coexist?
Can they coexist? How will they coexist? And Shayna going for the tag and Nia not being there. And I was like, oh, there's dissension between the team. Blah, 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 blah. Nia got a tag in about 30 seconds later and nothing came of it. It was just fine. It's like, why would you set that up and then not do anything with it? Storytelling. Yeah. Have you ever heard of Chekhov's gun? It's like one of the prime things of storytelling. Don't put something in a story if you're not going to pay it off. It winds me up to no end. It got on my nerves. The in-ring action was perfectly acceptable, but everything else sucked.
You can hardly tell that it wound you up. You know,
the women's tag stuff is so bad. Yeah. Every week, it's so bad on Raw and on SmackDown. And I maintain what I said last week of just being like, this is the one little dose of Raw on my otherwise very pleasant SmackDown. Because, God, this was the one bit that really wound me up on the show. Everything else was good on the show, bar the main event, which was spectacular.
Yeah.
And it just brings me down a little bit, and I don't want it to.
Just don't kill my vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
This, to me, it was like, we talked on NXT about the Killian Dane Drake Maverick match and how there was a moment in there where they did the can they coexist spot where it felt like they didn't pay it off in the match, but I have enough faith in NXT to pay it off next week. I don't think we'll ever hear about this spot again. Like ever. Like this is it. It was just a dumb spot in a match.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Moving on. From this negativity.
Yeah. Booker T said Roman Reigns is going to win. Shinsuke said that Bryan's going to win, but that he's going to be waiting for Reigns. Or maybe he said that Reigns is going to win. I might have written that down wrong. Doesn't matter. Shinsuke said he's going to be waiting for Reigns anyway. Ooh, because Reigns got away from him once.
Do we think he will? Is this ever going to lead to something? Or is like, yeah. I would like to see Shinsuke Nakamura versus Roman Reigns. Have that be like the Universal title match at Money in the Bank or something like that. Like, that sounds fun. I'm and very much down for that. Yeah. Down for that. But I don't know. If there was a little piece of this where I was just kind of like, feels like someone that would just say that, like, just to try and get themselves over a little bit, and then it just gets forgotten about. But I'm hoping that's not the case.
Yeah. Rey and Dominic Mysterio are backstage saying they want to become the first father-son tag team champions. I'd also like that. Give that to them. Yes. I think that would be cool. And then we got chapter 2 of Aleister Black. Last week we had The Dragon, and this one was called Reality. Essentially saying, I feel like it could be summed up by, we live in a society, was basically the gist of the promo.
He's
basically
a more eloquent Joker reading from a book.
Pretty much, yeah. And him just saying that, you know, always trying to pick the right college and getting that 3-bed house with the white picket fence, it's all a lie. But father never told me those lies, and I have the secrets to get you out of your hell, but I'm not going to tell you. This is all right.
Yeah.
I'm still there. I'm still holding out hope for this one.
I like the presentation. I like Alexander. That's not his name. Aleister Black.
Yeah.
Alexander Black.
Yeah.
I like him. I'm happy to see him back. But it's spooky man promos, you know? And I can only care so much about that. Once he gets back to TV, that's when I'll really like get into everything, you know? Because it's like, again, it's like spooky man stuff where I don't know what his goals are right now.
Yes.
You know, you need to give me a little bit more of that. But again, we're 2 weeks into this, so I will wait and reserve my judgment. I'm just hoping that they don't forget about that part.
Yes, for sure. But still, I'm really into it. Like the art style of these promos is really cool. Still super into it. Really, really like it. After that, we got a couple promos from Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston saying that Woods thinks that Bryan is going to win. Kingston thinks that Reigns is going to win, which was interesting because you had the whole history with Kingston and Bryan, and Kingston just being like, no, I beat Bryan. I think Reigns is going to win. I beat Bryan, and I'm way down on the card. You seen me? I'm barely even featured on Raw. I'm throwing tomatoes these days.
Don't make me sad about Kofi. Still not over it.
Then we got a WrestleMania rematch. We got Apollo Crews versus Big E for the Intercontinental title. I'm really glad that they built from the Nigerian drum fight to a singles match. Makes sense to me.
From singles matches to a Nigerian drum fight, back to singles matches.
Why not? Carry that on. And again, this was a really good match. Like, the action was really good. They gave him a solid amount of time. Big E was like dominating early, but then Apollo started to come back using heelish tactics. Managed to hit a Death Valley driver on the apron, which looked brutal. It was awesome. And like I was making these notes and I was like, man, like the story's really good, the pacing's really good, the action's really good. Big ending from Big E. Holy crap. And I was like, ah, oh, he's too close to the outside.
Yep.
There's Commander Aziz, pulls him out of the ring and causes the DQ. And I just said to myself, I was like, what did I expect? Like,
yeah.
Come on, Pete. Yeah,
like you have those moments where they're setting up the finish and you can just see like, you know, when someone's a little too close to the ropes and like, you're just like, oh, that's going to be a foot on the rope. This was like, he's going to get pulled out of the ring. It's coming. Yeah, mm-hmm. There it goes.
Yep.
I think I enjoyed last week's match with Kevin Owens a bit more. That mm-hmm. might just be because we had like a halfway proper finish to that one, as opposed to a DQ here. But I've really enjoyed Apollo Crews's matches as Intercontinental Champion. Like,
yeah.
This is a guy who never got the chance to have like long matches on the main roster, and now he is. And it's like, it's really nice to see, because like, we all know he's a good wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really good to see that a guy who is a good wrestler, who gets the chance to have long matches, can succeed. Mm-hmm. You know, like it reaffirms my confidence in a working system, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. But the thing is, though, with this, I was upset with the finish because I was like, oh, DQ finish. But then they had the little post-match angle and I was like, oh, okay, no, I'm back into this now. This is great.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the story of the show, because there was always, for all the negative stuff, there was something positive to find from it, you know, in like the opening segment.
I just saw a really funny comment. Just absolutely threw me that Aleister Black, the father, is Jack Black. I want that to be canon now. I'm sorry. I never considered that, but good for you, Charles Berg. That's a winner. That's a winner right there.
I've completely lost what I was saying. So like in the opening match, I didn't like the setup, but the match was really good. And even though the women's tag stuff, you know, it wound me up in several ways, like the actual in-ring action was something to look forward to because it was something that was actually better than it had been in previous weeks. And in this match, it's DQ finish. But post-match angle was actually really good. So Aziz starts beating up Big E. Kevin Owens comes out to start beating up Aziz because Aziz hit him with the Nigerian nail last week. Cool, like that. Big E and Owens start fighting together. Love that. Sami Zayn comes out of nowhere and hits a haluva kick on Kevin Owens. I was like, that's also great. Love that. And then we got the best bit where Sami Zayn picks up the Intercontinental Championship and looks and he's like, And even though Sami's hardly been away, it feels like Sami's hardly been away from the Intercontinental title because his whole character has been like, I've been screwed out of the Intercontinental title. I want my Intercontinental title back the whole time. And now he's here and I'm like, I want to see Sami get the Intercontinental title back. Like, it's just the amount that he said it, it's like rooted itself in my brain now. It's great.
Yeah.
So he looks at the IC title and he turns to see Apollo and Aziz there and he properly hams up the baby face. He's been like, oh, no, we're cool. Don't worry. Here's your title. It's totally fine. Don't worry. We're cool. Don't worry. He kind of raises Apollo's hand and he raises Aziz's hand. And then Aziz just hits him with a Nigerian nail. And I was like, okay, that was kind of cool. I'm into that. I like it a lot.
Yeah. You can do stuff like this when they're all heels.
Because
this is also something that I feel like someone who is a babyface would still do in WWE. You know, where it's like, oh yeah, we're cool. Turn on him anyway. And I would then complain about it, but it works when it's a bunch of heels. Mm-hmm. I had a few thoughts about the post-match bit where we talked last week about how a four-way program over the NXT, God, my brain is just fried today, over the Intercontinental title would really work, and we would like to see that. And now it looks like that's the direction that they're going. So that's like a big thumbs up. I'm excited for that. That's good stuff. Yep. You know, there is another part of me that goes, we had virtually the exact same dynamic and setup for a four-way Intercontinental title match 5 years ago with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and The Miz and Cesaro, where it was like, there's the Intercontinental title feud, there's this Kevin and Sami feud, and then let's just combine them. And I'm like, wow, we really haven't found something else for Kevin and Sami to do in 5 years. Which, yeah, I mean, they're at their best when they're together. So I'm not going to like complain about it too much, but I was literally just like, huh, that's a little bit interesting.
Hey, man.
We have just kind of spun our tires for like 5 years.
KO fought for the Universal title on like 3 separate occasions recently. So that's something, mm-hmm. you know, it's yeah. not nothing.
Yeah,
he's not just been fighting for the IC title the whole time, so that's it's different. But yeah, I'm glad that we called that they were going for the Fatal 4-Way route. I'm a big fan of it. I hope it's going to be a real good match, and I think that Apollo is probably going to retain.
I would think so.
Which it would be good. I think it would solidify him as a proper champion, and you can have feuds spinning out of that because you could go straight into an Apollo KO feud out of that. And you can even do a Big E Sammy feud out of that if you wanted to. I don't know if we want to see Big E Sammy again, just because of the whole thing that they did at the tail end of last year, but who knows. We then got a video call from The Miz saying that he thinks Reigns is going to win, and Cesaro says that he thinks Bryan's going to win, and he's going to beat Bryan at Backlash for the title, and he accepts the challenge from Rollins, so it is going to be Rollins versus Cesaro, yet another WrestleMania rematch next week. Cool.
Should be a good match.
Yep, should be a good match. I don't really want to see the rematch, but hey-ho, whatever. It's where we are. I'm sure it'll be fun.
If Seth Rollins wins, we gonna have something to talk about on this year's show.
Don't you dare put that into the world, Tempest. Rollins cannot win that match. And nope, much better. It's gonna be a DQ finish.
I think I'd prefer that, honestly.
Yeah, no, I would too. But I'm telling you, that is what's going to happen. It'll be a DQ finish. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really bad. I'm going to hold out hope that Cesaro wins clean. Anyway, and then we got into all the main event stuff that we've already spoken about. So overall, I thought... Okay, so I rated this in my editor review. I rated this like a 5 out of 5 show. Like a low 5, if that even counts. It's like very close to being a 4, but the main event was so good that it just put it up to a 5 for me because it was great. It's one of the best main events from SmackDown in ages. And that just elevated me to a point where I didn't mind all the other negative stuff on the show. And especially because all the other negative stuff on the show also had positives to go with it as well. So I was like, well, the other stuff was fine and the main event was amazing. 5? So, yeah, I've gone with 5, tentatively. Mm-hmm. It's kind of 4, but 5. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, number scores are just arbitrary anyway, but I think... I think I would go for, like, a really high 4, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I'm totally with you on everything. I just, like, I don't know, the first hour of SmackDown didn't really do anything for me, and I thought... On the whole, which a lot of people made fun of me for saying on the whole a lot on the NXT review this week, I thought last week's show overall was a better show. Mm-hmm. This week just had the better match. So mm-hmm. I'm going to give them the same rating of a 4 out of 5 show.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
Can't wait for everyone to crap all their beef.
Oh,
that,
yeah. You know. Thank you, Bezo Banks. There's Retro SmackDown.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I thought this was a really weird thing because they're like, it's the old Vince McMahon WWE Superstars voiceover with the old music and the old blocky WWF logo. SmackDown mm-hmm. started in 1999. That's as far back as you can go.
Legit, yeah.
Talking the middle of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Triple H and The Rock. And Steve Austin and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I was like, how retro are you going to go? Like, at least when they do it with Raw. Like, Raw started in 93, which was still very retro. But maybe they're going to do, like, a weird retro SmackDown that's not going to make canonical sense.
That's fine.
I said on Twitter, if they don't bring back the giant fist, I don't care. I don't care about
it. They should. Yeah,
they probably won't. Like, I could also see them bringing back the original SmackDown set, you know, with like the one big screen and the screen in the middle mm-hmm. that Jericho got gored through.
Yeah,
but I really want to see the fist. They got rid of the fist the week that I started watching wrestling.
Oh, mate.
Like right there, because I started watching like the week that they went to HD and they redid all the sets. I want to see the big SmackDown fist back, because that was SmackDown. Yeah, like, if you want some really SmackDown cool. nostalgia, bring back the Rise Up theme and bring back the fist.
Yep, it's true. The fist was the best in the video games because you could climb onto it, and it was great. Anyway, you guys thought that this show was a 4 out of 5. 55% of you voting for a 4 out of 5 show. 19% saying a 5 out of 5, with 18% doing a 3 out of 5. So very, very favorable reviews for the show, understandably, I would say. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you guys. It's definitely on that kind of cusp of 4 and 5, I think, between there. This was a wonderful show, and I very much enjoyed watching it. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats. Let's see what you guys have to say about the show. Last call for your Ultra Chats. If you want to get those in, WrestleTalk.com/support is the link to go to. You can find it in the pinned comment in the description. It's on the screen. All sorts of places to find it. And you can get in your Ultra Chats, and we will read out your messages, every single one of them, before we end the show today. So we've got one here from Charles Berg that says, is anybody better at losing matches than Daniel Bryan? I love watching him win, but he never looks bad when he loses. Also, I feel like Cesaro didn't sell Reigns murdering Bryan that well. His reaction felt wooden. Reigns will surpass Punk's 400-plus day reign.
I don't think the Punk reign is particularly important. I mean, like, if you're just looking for a milestone to pass, like, I think it's possible and probably and maybe likely. But I, because Brock's Universal title reign was longer than Punk's WWE title reign, and I did see people at the time being like, they're trying to write Punk out of history, because they do like to do that. But I don't think it was like a big factor into this one. Daniel Bryan's really good at selling, man. And he's at the point now where he's not quite bulletproof, because I did think that a lot of his 2020 was like devaluing him, just that they weren't really taking him seriously. And he's just so good. You know, he's just at the cusp of being bulletproof, where you can do anything to him and nothing matters, but he's really good. He's really good at putting people over. He's such a good wrestler.
And the thing with Bryan is that even if he does get a little bit devalued, the next week he can come back and do something cool, and you're like, okay, you're right back to where you were. No big.
Yes. Right, he's easily redeemable in WWE programming, which is 100%. Not something that can be said for a lot of people on WWE programming. So
absolutely.
Big thing. People saying I hate Punk in the chat. I do not hate CM Punk. Would you like me to pull out my CM Punk shirt collection? Because I've got a few of them.
Kevin comes in with an Ultra Chat to say, I friggin' popped when Reigns' new song hit. This match was incredible. Everything around it was perfect. Agree. Yep. Big agree. Yeah. When I heard that Reigns had new music, I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Sound the alarms.
That was my exact reaction. It literally started, and I was like, it's happening. Oh my God.
The fabled times are here. It's amazing. Joshua Shepherd says, LIW 444 life. As a Roman Reigns day one fan, SmackDown has been fantastic for me since SummerSlam. My job makes watching wrestling live impossible for me, but I did end up watching the big match last night. How cool would that have been in front of a crowd? Yeah, 100% agree with that. We mentioned it earlier. Yeah.
I will reiterate. I think that if this was in front of a crowd, this would be like one of the legendary, all-time great WWE TV main events. What a shame, you know.
Yeah,
like,
well, I mean, what can you do?
There's nothing they can do, you know, so I don't like blame anybody, but it's just like, oh, I blame the stupid pandemic.
Yeah,
took another great wrestling moment from us.
Curse you. Do you want to take over the rest of the Ultra Chats?
Yeah, sure. We've got one regarding the Intercontinental title picture from Scott Young, saying, Apollo lad, we have had maybe I can't read. We have all had the emails telling us that you are the Nigerian prince. I think you've taken it too far. Someone needs to tell him to change his bank details.
But he actually is, though. He's of Nigerian descent. They keep telling it on your intro graphics that he's of Nigerian descent, so it's fine.
Yeah, that accent, the reverse Kofi Kingston. We've got Kevin here saying, not a big fan of her stories, but I like when Nia gives interviews, little digs. Why are you showing that we already saw it? That is actually quite good. I like that. Or last night, we know what match we have. Ask your question, Megan. That's funny, but end this team already. I agree. Yeah. I like it when people, because Kevin Owens would do stuff like this too, where they kind of point out how stupid the WWE interview process is. Yes, good stuff. On a side note, I guess this is the best part to best part to bring this up because I forgot about it when you were talking about the Paul Heyman thing. This is a really small nitpick, and it doesn't affect the show to me other than just kind of like pulling me out a little bit. But I really find it strange when they're like, she's going to interview Paul Heyman. Let's go to a commercial. Let's go to a video package. And I was like, he's been standing there for like 10 minutes, you know? Like
the I've had several rants about that in the past about WWE pacing and how they'll be like, here's the entrance for one match and an ad break and a recap package and a backstage interview and then another backstage interview. And then we have the other person come out and turns out it's a tag match. So we've got another like two people to come out yet. So another ad break and another this thing. It's like, just do things in sequence. It winds me up.
Yeah. It's just a matter of making me feel like this isn't a real sporting event. Which, like, I know it's not, but the idea is I'm supposed to forget that it's not.
Exactly.
But you would never throw to a interview with, like, a hockey player or something and then make him sit there for, like, 10 minutes while you went to commercial and did a pre-show panel or whatever. So that's just, that's my nitpick for the week. Vandalia 1998 says, wish Raw and SmackDown would switch days so I could watch SmackDown on my day off work. As for Bailey, new laughing gimmick means her character is going mental or something. That's the only thing I can think of.
No idea. I think that she did it last week and Vince McMahon went, huh, that's great. Do it again.
That's funny, pal.
Literally. He's done that and just got to do that again.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. Luke Neal says, hey, guys, you're great. Thank you. Also, do you think a simple lariat, powerbomb, or super kick can be used these days as a convincing finisher? Sincerely, Nickelback fan, for life.
Yes.
I mean, you still see it sometimes. I mean, Walter has beaten people with a clothesline. I think he beat Tyler Bate. It was the five-star match from Pro Wrestling Noah last December where... I think it was Go Shiozaki and Takashi Segura, where Shiozaki just beat him with a clothesline. Just one big clothesline. Boom. That was it. That was the finish. So it's like, if you get it over, it works. You know, like
you just have to you have to build to that finish.
Yes. You can do anything within the context of a match. Walter just won a match with a chop.
He did. He really
did. You can do anything, you know?
It was amazing as well.
Yeah. And people like to say, like, oh, super kicks have been devalued. And, like, they have been. But at the same time, if you build to it within the context of a match, like they did in the Young Bucks FTR match, super kick could still be a finish. It could be a great finish. So it's all contextual stuff, I think. George Todd says, live in New Zealand, so it's Sunday, so drunk. Oh, dear. I'm trying to decipher a lot of what this message says, because I believe you, George. So we'll probably check this in a couple days when I check my balance. I just want to thank you guys for the great content. Well, thank you.
Thank you for that. And I believe you're saying it's 2 a.m. Sunday morning.
Yes, that
why
looks
are you
about
here?
Right. Goodness me.
Why are you here? It's 2 a.m. on us. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
You can watch this later. You can watch it on catch up, you know. It's going to be on the channel. What you doing? Wild.
And Bezo Banks says, Bailey's just channeling her inner Sasha Banks to get on Bianca's nerves. I don't like Sasha's laugh. I don't need that. If you're there's so many things you could take from Sasha Banks' presentation. Her laugh is not the thing you need to take. It's like someone looking at Seth Rollins and being like, you know what? I'm going to laugh like that guy. Forget the great wrestling and the extravagant suits and all the things that make Seth Rollins a fun character. I'm going to go, that'll get me over.
Hey, you know what? Walter's really great. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stab him my hands behind my back. That makes me as good as Walter. That's the thing that makes Walter, you know? So we've got quite a few emails to get through. Thank you, everyone, for emailing in. We really appreciate all the support you guys are showing, the intangibles. We love it. We cherish it so dearly. If you guys want to email in, support@wrestletalk.com is the place to do so. Have the chance of your emails being read out on the show. We've got a follow-up email here from Nishant, who emailed in before pictures of puppies.
Yes,
if you remember.
I do remember. Yep.
Who said, "Dear Wrestle Boys, and specifically the Intangibles, thank you guys so much for reading my email on the podcast. It made me pop big time. Y'all are definitely my favorite duo on the podcast. Don't tell Luke and Ollie. I also made my mom listen to the part about Roxy, and she popped too. Apologies for not attaching more pictures. I'll try to add more in this one." There's more Tempest.
More puppies.
The puppy you saw last week was Roxanne, the French Mastiff. By the way, if y'all want to make the Intangibles sound like L.I.J., I think it will have to be Los Intangibles de Wrestle Talk is probably the best way to do it. That's a you know what? That's not bad, because it does give you that extra syllable. Intangibles de Wrestle Talk. It's still not the same amount of syllables, but it does sound better. I'll give you that.
It's getting closer. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's all for today. Thanks for the consistent content. Stay safe and lots of love, Nishant. And also thank you for providing me a way to phonetically pronounce your name so I didn't mess it up. Right, Tempest, I'm going to share the screen with you. No one else is going to get to see this, but it's puppies.
Ah! Oh my good. Look at their little faces.
Ah! Oh,
that one's yawning.
Oh God, it's the best. Look at him. God. He's so sleepy.
Look at the brown one's eyes.
They're
like crystal blue.
I know. God, it's the best. Duh.
Ooh, that one's artsy.
Very artsy.
I say it's artsy. It's just black and white.
It's black and white. Therefore, artsy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, Nishant. It's made my day once again. It's the best. Right, let's get into another email, because otherwise I'll get caught up on that for ages. We've got some about NXT, which we'll get to another time. We've got one here from Juan Gabriel, who always emails in. Say, the LAW is over with the crowd, boys. Gentlemen, it's great to email you guys every week. Makes my day to know I'm the best emailer in the world. I didn't say that. You said that. Anyways, the topic of this email is to determine who should dethrone Roman. I think it should be Cesaro. Roman is a fantastic champion and carries the main event. He's brought back the main event aura to SmackDown again. Throughout all of this, I was thinking that Cesaro should be the one to take the Blue Universal Championship from Roman. Cesaro has it all, except promos, but that's where Bryan steps in. Bryan should be Cesaro's advocate and have Cesaro bring to life every promo that Bryan speaks. It's a perfect matchup. Maybe have an open challenge every once in a while so Cesaro can put over the challenger, but still have him win every defense until he feels like he would give someone another chance. For example, let's say that Chad Gable answers his challenge and Gable knocks it out the park in the match. Then Cesaro thinks that Gable deserves another match, but at a pay-per-view, puts over the challenger, the belt, and Cesaro. What are your thoughts? Your email chief and head of the emails, Juan Gabriel. Also worth noting that this email was sent 3 days ago before SmackDown happened. So there you go. I think Tempest might be frozen, so I'm just gonna say my thoughts on this. Where I think that I also believe it probably should be, I'd be okay with either Cesaro or Big E dethroning Roman. Whereas I don't think it should be Cesaro surely, because it looks like we're probably gonna be going in. We've got double Tempest again, everyone. We've got double Tempest. It's happened again. It's the best.
I don't understand why this keeps happening. I'd rather it happen now than during the live portion of the show.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's
for
true.
God's sake, I never had problems with streaming on my internet for like a year. I've been doing Quizlemania since August. Yeah, let's talk about Roman Reigns and Cesaro and everything.
Yeah. Did you get the gist of the email? Did you get all
I got the whole email. I got the whole email. Yeah.
Great. I think that I'd be happy with either Cesaro or Big E dethroning him. But it looks like they're going to be doing Cesaro at Backlash. And if they are, then I don't think Cesaro should win there. Maybe. Feels like Roman's going to the next arc of the character now. So it feels a bit premature for him to now actually lose the belt. Whereas before, like, it's literally just a change in theme. but it feels like it's the next step in the Roman saga. Whereas, I think it would be a bit premature for him to drop it now that he's had the rebrand and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I would really love to see Cesaro hold a world title and everything. Mm-hmm. I just don't think now is like the perfect time just because Roman is so good. I think it's a situation where I know there was another example of this, but I can't quite put my finger on what exactly it was, where right now Roman Reigns is just the best guy to hold the title and the guy who should dethrone him isn't, like, he's not there yet, you know, like it hasn't been presented yet as this is the person who should dethrone Roman. It'll be a situation where someone will get over and that person will emerge months down the line. Cause honestly, right now I'm totally down with like Roman holding this belt for like another year, just hold it until like next year's WrestleMania. Like it's so clearly to me right now, like Roman Reigns is number one and then you've got like 50 feet and then there's number two in the company.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you should be taking the belt off of him like anytime soon. I would have him hold the belt for two more years. Have him break Bruno's record. Just hold the belt forever.
Yeah, that'd be insane. Thank you for that email, Juan. We've got one here from Eli that says, "Hey, LIW, I'm trying to become a more consistent emailer because I really like talking to you guys and don't always get the chance live like on Quizzlemania. Hopefully this subject can get me to correspond more often. Pokemon! So, rapid fire. First, I agree that Black and White didn't have the best starters, but a lot of their other Pokemon were awesome. I really like Reuniclus and the Musketeer Pokemon. Cobalion is my favorite. So both of you, what's your favorite Pokemon and what is their intangible? Example, Gengar. Intangible is intangible because it's a ghost." That's good.
I want to start by saying, you said like, here's an email from Eli. And I was like, Cottonwood? No, I've made that joke already. Like, as soon as we finish the podcast, I like delete everything from my memory just to go again next week.
Yep.
But I did stop myself. But what's your favorite Pokemon, Pete?
It has changed a fair amount.
Ooh.
Over the years. I'm torn. I'm still very tempted to say Aggron. Aggron's still a beast. I love him so much. He's the best. Pokemon. And it was, I think it was a playthrough I did of Emerald, and he was just the absolute MVP and just carried everything through the whole thing. It was awesome. Love Aggron. Other end of the scale, in terms of the type of Pokemon, Stuffle. Love Stuffle. So cute. Good God. That thing. Yeah. That thing's cry. You hear that? You just go, I wanna cry. It's incredibly cute. So possibly Stuffle, possibly Aggron.
I've got a similar thing where I've got like this is my cute Pokemon, this is like my big strong tough Pokemon. Big strong tough Pokemon is Tyranitar.
I love T-Tar. He's great.
So good. It's been my favorite probably since the fourth Pokemon movie, the one with Celebi. Like really cool, really like Tyranitar. It's really hard to like catch one and use one in games just because like Larvitar is not found until the end of the game. But any chance that I get to use a Larvitar, I will take it. On the other end of the spectrum, I really, really love Phanpy.
Phanpy's great. Yeah.
Phanpy is my cute favorite Pokemon. And it's intangible is just being too goddamn cute.
That was mine for Stuffle. That's
too bad. Okay. That's too bad. It's a little tire that's an elephant, and I love it.
Yeah.
I don't care about Donphan as much.
I like Donphan. Donphan's really cool.
Like, I like Donphan, but like, if I had a Phanpy like in real life, I'd be like, yeah, here's an Everstone. Just like, don't stay cute. Yeah,
no, keep you as is. Intangibles for Aggron, super cool. Intangible for Stuffle, cute, cuddly. It's a toy. It's also got a few other quick fire questions in quotation marks. Tempest, what starter will you choose in the Sinnoh remakes?
In the Sinnoh remakes, probably Chimchar.
Good choice.
Yeah.
The correct choice, some might say. In fairness, Gen 4 starters are probably one of the strongest batches of starters, I think.
It's a good batch. This is probably just because like I had a really bad team when I played through Pearl the first time, because the first time I played through Pearl, I picked Piplup, and I couldn't make it to the end of the game. Like, I was just like, I'm just struggling and not having a great time. So then in my mind after that, Piplup sucked, you know? And I really like the design and everything of Empoleon, but I don't think I've picked Piplup since then. And also, like, water types are my favorite anyway, so I don't usually pick the water starter because I want to then go and find a different water type to use in the game. So
that makes a lot of sense, yeah. Chopper, have you ever played in a draft league? Would you play in one like on Showdown, maybe with some of the Swaff Nation? Yeah, I used to have a YouTube channel that did Pokemon content. That was how I started doing content creation, was a Pokemon YouTube channel, and playing in draft leagues was basically the bulk of the uploads that I did on that channel. I used to run a draft league. I'm friends with the guy that created Pokemon Draft League. I love draft leagues. They're great. I haven't played in them in forever. I've stopped playing competitive entirely at this point, but at one point they were my entire life. It was a good time. I had my team, which I was very proud of, because basically whenever we make a team name in draft league, you have to do a pun, a Pokemon pun based off a real sports team. My pun was off the Queen's Park Rangers, which is a football team in England, near the Queen's Park Rangers. It's great. Love it. I was very proud of that. I was never very good at draft league, but I will maintain that playing draft league in Pokemon is the best way to play competitive Pokemon. Ladder is kind of ass, and I will maintain that till the day I die. But I've not played competitive since like Sun and Moon, maybe Sun Ultra Moon at the very, very end of Ultra Sun Ultra Moon. Just as Ultra Sun Ultra Moon came out, I think was probably the last time I played competitive, and then I just stopped after that. And like, I played Pokemon Sword once, I did one playthrough of Pokemon Sword, and I was like, that's a good game. I don't want to play it again, but it was fun while I did it. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And that's been my Pokemon experience since then. So no, I would not play it in it again, but it was very fun while I did. Thanks for indulging my random excitement. I haven't been able to talk Pokemon in a while. Hope all is well. Sent from my iPhone. Thanks, Eli. thank you for the email. Yes, please do feel free to email more about Pokemon, because Pokemon was my entire life from about when I was 5 until 23 or so. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have thoughts and feelings.
As do I. And I, quick little story about Pokemon, because I was on like a voice call with a couple of my buddies this week, and one of them was playing Pokemon, and I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to like grab my 3DS, which has just been collecting dust, you know, for a while. And I was like, I'm just going to like pop in all of the Pokemon games that I can play on this thing and just see what Pokemon I had in it.
Nice.
Popped in my Pokemon X, I think. There were Pokemon in that game that were 18 years old.
There were
Pokemon in that game that could legally vote. And I was
wild.
Like, wow. Like Pokemon that I looked at like the trainer IDs and everything. And there were Pokemon in there that were from my first ever playthrough of Pokemon Sapphire when it came out.
It was,
I had like my Skeptile, my Gardevoir. I think I had like a Golem or something like that. And I was just like, wow. How much time and energy is put into like all the Pokemon that are in this box? Like hundreds and hundreds of hours. I was just like, whoa, crazy.
Yeah. Goodness me. Yeah. I found, because recently I was living with my parents until not that long ago, about a month ago at this point, temporarily. And there were some childhood photos that were brought out while I was there. And one of them that I distinctly remember, I have this memory lodged in my head. So it was cool to see a photo of it to be like, oh, yeah, that did actually happen. I'm not just making up this memory. Was we were on a family holiday, me and my two brothers. We went to America. We were in Florida. And we were sitting there at like 5 a.m. We'd got up super early and we were all sitting in the same bed because we were all pretty young at this point. And it was me in the middle with my Game Boy, Pokemon Red, and those two watching me play it. And it was the best. It was really cool. So then that's, I saw a photo of that. I was like, oh, that's great. Because I literally would have been like, yeah, about 5 or 6 at the time, playing that. So yeah, that would have been like just as Pokemon Red had come out. Yeah. It was around that time. So yeah, oh man, that got me in the feels when I saw that. So I was like, oh man, Pokemon's great.
I have very similar memories of the 2003 blackout that hit North America, where the only thing that I had was I had my Game Boy, I had Pokemon Crystal, and I had like a big long flashlight that you could like bend and put around your neck.
Yes.
I think it was for like reading or something like that. Uh-huh. But all I remember from the 03 blackout was that I just had that thing and I was playing Pokemon Crystal. And you know that egg that you get from the couple that runs the daycare and that has like a 50% chance of being shiny? It was a Magby. And I've never gotten a Magby from that egg again.
That's amazing.
It's crazy the things you remember.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Anyway, that is going to be all the time we've got for this episode of the SmackDown podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Next week I'm around. It's the week after I'm not. I think I'm getting my dates mixed up. That's fine. I might be here next week. I might not. I'm forgetting when I'm off. But regardless, I'm not off, I don't think, next week. But regardless, thanks, guys, for listening. Stay tuned for loads more content coming soon. Take care of each other. Stay safe. We love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.